Jonathan, hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Bagel Tech Photo. I'm Kyle Swagger, along with three professionals. One is still definitely in the learning stages, but he is back. You wait your turn, Will. You wait your turn. No, really. Welcome, everybody. We have Will Green back on the panel with us. Let's give him a round of applause. Will Green.
Let's give him the clap, yeah.
Yes. Will, thank you for joining us again. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, well, you're very much welcome. I don't remember doing it. I think Ewan did, so you can thank Ewan.
That's hard.
I'm just kidding,
it?
Will.
That's hard.
We love having you on.
You know, when you think you have some friends and finally you find out you haven't.
It's really the only true friends that actually will, you know, make fun of you right in front of you, not behind your back.
Okay.
There you go. So, no, thanks for being on the show today, Will. We do have the three pros with us, as always, on the show. We got Chris Forsman back with us. Chris, how is it in the early morning hours there in the good old US of A, where the dollar keeps declining?
Well, here in Chicago, it's been storming terribly, so it's dreary and humid. But thankfully, I'm inside with the air conditioning on, keeping it nice and
You cool sure you're not in Manila? Because it's exactly how it is here.
Oh, well.
Oh, there you go. Oh, good week?
Good week. I had a late night last night, though, so I apologize if I seem a little off.
Nothing, a little cup of coffee and water and probably more alcohol later tonight won't cure. Speaking of which, of alcohol, as we have a train wreck, Ewan, your week has been full of it. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. Do you like my impression of Alex Fox?
Where are you? Oh, very good.
It's fantastic. You need a little facial hair, though.
I need more than a little, mate. That is more than I could manage in about 2 years.
Well, you can tell I haven't worked this week.
No, I haven't. Well, I felt like not working. I had to go and work yesterday, and I nearly called in sick. I've lacked motivation when the wife's not here. No one kicking me out the door. Go work. She's your bring back money.
She's your compass. That's exactly right. She's your compass.
Whip, I think, is the best. Whip and compass. Compass is not a good word.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't really cover it.
Did she find out about the lens yet?
Oh, yeah, a few weeks back. I tweeted that out. She found out about it. I got a kick in. It's done now.
Oh, okay.
I bought another one that's on the way before she gets back.
Clever you.
Clever.
That voice peeking behind the background there, if he can hear us. Mr. Alex G. Fox, how are you, Alex?
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm watching a bit of cricket, so that's a bit depressing. But other than that thing,
112 for six, I note.
Be quiet.
Oh dear.
Yes.
We're going to have to go into another show when it comes to cricket scoring. Ewan's tried to tell me. I still don't get it yet. I've got to do the Wikipedia thing. So, but I take it you're losing.
Well, you never quite lose in cricket.
Five-day game, mate.
Yeah. Anyway, you're talking about Wikipedia, aren't you?
No.
Oh, ching, or something like that. Okay. Anyways, guys, the week in photography. Will, by the way, join in when you feel like you have a thing.
Every
you'd like
time
to
I
say.
Do join in, you tell me to shut up.
No. I'm not going to tell you to shut up anymore. We found out secretly that you used to take pictures a long time ago.
You do every time.
No,
listen, in all seriousness, I found out this week that Sony announces the world's thinnest compact camera.
That's very well read, mate. You're glad I sent you those links now?
How dare you, sir? I've been following this news religiously.
Of course. Moving
let's start
on.
With that then. Let's start with that then. World's thinnest camera from Sony. Do we all care? Chris, do you care?
Me personally, no. It looks cool though. Okay. I mean,
it does look.
I mean, like I said, it's nothing I've been in the market for, so it doesn't really interest me. But it looks cool.
Would we care if it said Leica on it or Hasselblad or Nikon? Would we care then?
I think we would care more. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's the Sony.
Especially if it said Leica. I mean, that's just not something that you would usually make. So
true. Ewan?
Yeah.
We're just doing this to make Will feel good, just so you know.
No, what I think is quite interesting about this is the fact that Sony has led in the camera phone market for a very long time. So they've got an expertise that goes along with small sensors. And in the Sony Ericssons, you'll find that the 8 megapixel cameras, they're not great pictures, but they're not bad. You know, they're very passable images. You wouldn't be selling them commercially, but that's not what you want it for anyway. If they've got a 16 megapixel camera in a small space, if anyone on the planet is going to do 16 meg in a small space, Sony are the people that are set up for it. So if this is any good, I'd say Sony are the best people to have had a go at making this function. It looks really nice. It's really small. It's about the size of a cell phone. I would love to have that in my top pocket at a function, you know, if I was going with the wife or something like that and just wanted some snaps of people around me. Little tiny flash that I guess develops quite a lot of light up to sort of 3 to 4 feet. And at $350, if that price comes over to the UK, that's under £300. You're talking 250 quid there. 250 quid for that camera, I'd buy it. If it took a decent picture. Why?
That surprises me. I don't know, because you always go on about the Panasonic and the Lumix and everything else. And to me, you're getting more of a camera there than you are with the Sony one. You know, although I will agree with you, it's a nice looking camera.
Yeah, but it's a use case. You see, I would want that on a day when I didn't even want to carry the weight of the Panasonic Lumix, even though it's not that heavy. This is something where you've got like a dinner suit on, you want to go to a function, you want it in your top breast pocket and pull it out and take a picture and put it back again. You know, James Bond styly.
Yeah.
Then a 250 quid for that camera, or one for the wife and a nice slim clutch purse or something that she carried around with it when she went out, I think that's a great buy. If it takes a half decent picture, which I'm saying, I think Sony probably could be the people that could allow it to do that.
Alex, I'm sure you'd buy it. The king of cameras. Would you buy it?
No.
Oh,
just a bit controversial. Right. Now, I'm repeating myself from the pre-show, but I do think this is an important camera because of the form factor, the size, and the fact that Sony have come and put together what they call a periscope lens. So what it does, it's a 5x optical zoom, but the lens doesn't protrude from the camera in any way, which to me is a nice step forward in technology, meaning that as this thing is actually smaller than the iPhone, it means that the iPhone has no realistic excuse now for a new incarnation not to have a 5x, etc. zoom, not digital, but optical zoom on the camera.
Now, I don't think that's fair because periscope lenses aren't new. I mean, there was a Nikon Coolpix from years ago that had a similar design. The problem with the iPhone 4 is there's not room for a periscope style lens inside the device.
This is jam-packed. My point. All the periscope lenses have gone into cameras that are far, far thicker than this Sony. Sony have now shown that something, I mean, they actually quote the depth of this is actually 0.1 millimeter thinner than the iPhone. So they've shown that you can now put a periscope lens into something iPhone size. And that's the point I'm trying to make. I know that the lenses have been available, but they've always been in form factors far thicker than this before.
Yeah.
So Alex, that's what I'm exciting about.
You're looking into the future. You're looking at, possibly this gives Apple an idea, or not even just Apple. It's just all camera phone manufacturers an idea that there is room now that we can actually have a decent, even though the iPhone camera is decent, I would say a more professional camera in our phones. This is where you see this technology going. You know, forget the camera. It's about what can be done on the technological side now.
Yeah, because it's always been a matter of physics. You know, a periscope lens is not a difficult lens, but the physics of making something 5x optical in whatever that says 12.2 millimeters is a feat, because this thing is sitting in front of a sensor. It's not, it's not taking up the full 12.2 millimeters as well. So I just think, especially with Apple's ingenuity in shrinking things down, even if they only made a 3x optical, if you could get an optical lens in an iPhone, I think that would be a massive jump forward. And I think Sony's led the way and showed that it could be done. And it also means that Apple might think about it because somebody else has done it first. They don't want to be left behind.
I'd like to think it's beyond Apple. I really would. But I see your point, and it is a good point. Maybe we will see these coming up in camera phones. Maybe by September, if the rumors are right with the new iPhone 4S, 5, 92, 6, HUD hike, whatever it's going to be in September, we shall see. Speaking of things that are on the smaller side, how about the Olympus?
Wait a moment.
You missed him out on the introductions, and now you've missed him out on the story that he bloody well picked. That's a bit much, mate. Even I've got to say.
I'm not really ignoring it. I thought Will had brought the story to us, so I thought, okay. I thought he had us. Go ahead, Will. I'm sorry.
What's your opinion, Will?
Well, I don't know, really. But I was looking at Alex, and Alex, is that a big photo or a portrait of yourself above your head?
No, that's a portrait of my grandfather.
It looks just like you.
Funny that.
That's useful. At least there's no need for a DNA test then.
But it's actually about 15 foot behind me because it's quite a big portrait.
Yeah, I can see, yeah.
It's painted. It's not a photo.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. My portrait as in...
Well, I work in the art world. I get all these freebies.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you, Will. about your story...
Well, nothing really. I just thought, you know, it's a bit rude, isn't it? A bit rude?
No. I'm not trying to be. Actually, I'm not trying to be rude. I thought you were introducing the story. You introduced it, and then we were going to go around to the professionals and see what they had to say about it. So my deepest apologies, Will. I really am truly sorry.
Well, I would imagine that it's not a professional camera, so I probably would have thought I'd have more of an input on this than you lot.
Good point. He's got you there.
That's very good. Yeah, he's got me there, Will.
Well, go on. We've waited 5 minutes already. Have you got anything you want to say, Will?
So this is a very thin camera, right?
Yeah, very.
He's been listening.
Well, as you introduced it, you should have known.
I mean, surely. Okay, I understand. And it also sort of references back to that pocket camera that was on the other show that we talked about. And isn't it more just like a sort of, I can outdo you, I can make it smaller, I can make it thinner, without actually concentrating on the quality of the photos it takes?
That's right. The last time you were on, there was a smallest then, wasn't there?
That's right.
Yeah.
So this seems, it's just a gadget, isn't it, really? Just like a publicity stunt, really. We've made the thinnest camera in the world, or we've made the fattest camera in the world. I don't know. That's the way to go.
Don't you find that ironic, everybody, that they're wanting to be the smallest? Don't everybody want to be the biggest?
That's what they need to do. This is the biggest camera in the world. I'm going to make one of them.
I think Polaroid has that honor.
Really?
they have a 24-inch Polaroid camera, and I think it's in New York. To use it, you rent out a whole studio, and it's this giant life-size view camera. And you have to get special, you know, $1,000 per sheet Polaroid film to load it up and use it.
That's convenient.
I wonder how many trees died for this camera.
I don't know, but
I've used a 4-foot Bellows camera before.
Mm.
But that was lithographic-y kind of,
yeah,
you know, like specialist film stuff. But it wasn't. It's not really kind of photographic in that sense. You had to pull the lens cap and hold off it and count 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, then put the lens cap back on.
Jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
it's the same camera. It just depends what film you put in it. You can get 4-foot film. You just have to get it specially made.
Mm.
That's exactly right.
I had a mate who makes his own film that he can get it down to ISO 20.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is his name Eastman?
That's right in your unit, isn't it? What is it? Tell me.
ISO 20. All you have to do is leave it 10 years. Most things go down to that speed anyway.
There's a guy that does 5, isn't there? Makes his
That's what I meant to say. Yes, I got a mate who makes his own film.
You're taking the story from the guy I told you about when we were out watching your dog go to the toilet, and I told you about this guy in a field. You liar.
I'm not a liar. I know a mate, right? Have you ever seen the black and white photos on the Mac? And there's one that's like, you know, the screen, not the screensaver, the desktops you can have of this sort of sea image with mist, and it's the most amazing photo ever. He took that. Good friend of mine. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I told you to say.
This is what I love about the photo show when Will's on, because I don't have to do anything. I just listen the whole time. I can just listen. I honestly, well, I could just sit here and listen to you all day.
Well, most of my film I use works down to about 64.
64, is that all?
Yeah. I haven't got enough hours in the day to wait any longer, so 64 are doing me.
Well, I tend to, myself, when I'm shooting at ISO 5, I leave it, you know, all day long, and it captures every moment. Have I got that right, Ewan?
Yeah, he makes his own film that goes down to ISO 5, and he has exposures first thing in the morning. He goes out at like 4 a.m. and has a five-hour exposure at F22 or something like that. It's ridiculous. But when
you got arrested for that.
When it comes back, the sky and the sea are like just a flat grey glass, piece of glass. Really, really good. Very effective. I can't remember his name. David someone.
Hey, speaking, you mentioned the word arrested, Alex. Speaking of which, I want to touch on this slightly, and I'd love to get Will's opinion on it too. What does everybody think about the ad for, I think it's Lancome in the UK, with the whole fiasco about the touch-up with the Julia Roberts thing that, you know, they said, oh, it's photoshopped, it's misleading, so they couldn't print it. I mean, Ewan, you're kind of based around the law aspect of that. I mean, what's your take on that?
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about, because that's not in the list of stories for the day, you git.
No, it's not. No, yeah, it's not. I'm just, it's just hypothetical. It's just out there, just made me come right on it.
As a avid news reader myself, I know exactly what you're talking about. And just to explain it to you, and there was an advertising campaign being withdrawn because the Advertising Standards Agency has said that, is it L'Oreal? I can't remember who it was.
L'Oreal, Lancome, something like that.
They have been told that they can't produce enough information to say that they haven't over touched up the images. So they would not produce enough information to say these images were real depictions of what these bits of cosmetics will do to these women. And because they refuse really to give the right information, they've been told that they cannot be used under British law.
But you've got to say that, I've just found the advert, you've got to say that that is possibly one of the worst pieces of Photoshop you've ever seen. Because the key part of good Photoshop is the natural element that still remains. I was talking to Will about this the other day, because I shot some pictures of Will while we were at his studio on Tuesday, and we talked about taking away bags under eyes and things like that, because Will's got a few.
He's got a whole rucksack.
And I said the key part of it is to make sure that you leave one line under the eye, because if you do what they've done here, Julia Roberts, I mean, she looks like she's 12 years old and got Botox and has got someone around the back there tightening a screw, pulling her eyes back. That is the worst piece of Photoshop I have ever seen. There's no natural lines in there at all. And L'Oreal are stupid if they think that women would look at that photo and be fooled for 1 second.
Ewan, you got to leave Julia Roberts' nose out of it, all right? You've got to look from it from a more constructive point of view.
It's a big nose.
Chris, bring us back around your thoughts on it, and then we're definitely going to move on to some more gear news this week at least. Or do you have an opinion, or do you want to just stay clear of it?
Yeah, he's right. It's a terrible touch-up job. It just looks plastic and fake.
Yeah.
You know, that trend has been just increasing out of control for the last couple of years, and I think personally it's stupid. So
anyone who's faked out by that deserves it. It's Darwinian. You should be separated from your money.
Well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to have a new set of Photoshop plugins that are going to be like a restoration plugin. And what you're going to have, you're going to flatten everything off of a photo you've taken, and there's going to be an overlay plugin in which you choose what sort of lines and what sort of blemishes you want to put back, but they'll be put back from someone else.
It'll give it more
the best looking older person, and you'll put that back onto a blanked out image of someone else.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Called the natural plugin.
Yeah, there you go. Natural plugin.
There you go. Let's get on to talking about the Olympus, I don't know, many moons ago. The smallest Super Zoom Compact came out this week, the Olympus SP810UZ. It has a 36 times wide-angled zoom. 63 would be outstanding, wouldn't it? But it's got a 36. Nice-looking camera, actually. Olympus, of course, we talk about them on the show. I'm trying to actually find out a good price. Chris, what do you think? What do you think of this thing? I'm trying to find a price, actually. $229, you know, by the way. $229.
Yeah. Pounds.
Pounds.
Yeah. $400.
Yeah.
You know, these make great vacation cameras. You know, again, it's hard for me to be too objective because these kind of cameras just never appealed to me. But I mean, with the huge zoom, I really see why people like this stuff. I mean, it's a little bit bigger than your average compact. Obviously, it's got to hold all that zoom in there somewhere. But I mean, you know, the thought of carrying around one lens that gets you from 24 to almost 900 millimeters, that, you know, that sounds kind like of impressive. A lot of fun. Yeah, I mean, it sounds for the, amazing.
For the price point. I mean, you know, you're looking at about $400.
For the price point, sure.
Does this fit in the realm that we were looking at last week? We've seen, what camera was that last week? I completely lost all train of thought. There was a camera last week. We said it would, you know, if it was going to be around in the, what was that?
Some of the Panasonics.
Yeah, the Panasonics. I mean, are we seeing the same thing here, or is this even cheaper, lower end, but if you kind of understand what I'm kind of going
with. I think you've got to separate here the two comments that I'm about to make. The first one is, this looks like it's a great enough camera, it's got a really keen price, and it probably takes a great image. Stop there and walk away and go buy it if that's what you want. Be happy. If you're going to buy this because you look at the 24 to 864 millimeter at 35 mil issue, you're wasting your money, because if you actually really push that out to full length, you're never going to hold it steady. So you're talking about carrying around a fairly substantial tripod to get this to sit still, to actually take that image and make it work. You're not even talking about bracing yourself against a wall here at that kind of, I mean, at 400 mil, I don't shoot cricket freehand. I'd always go to a tripod, let alone something like rugby that's fast moving. People will look at this and say it's bigger, it's better, it's higher, it's faster, it's longer, it's smaller, and all that kind of stuff that goes along with the upmarket. But actually, at that kind of zoom, you're not going to do anything of any functional quality with it when you're away on Aldi, unless you're carrying around a tripod, which is just, why do that?
You're seeing the same view on it, Alex, you know, because you use a lot of a range of cameras. You know, I know that you've gone for the point and shoots to, you know, to the, obviously to the pro end. I mean, each camera has its own little personality, shall we say. I mean, is this the kind of camera that I'm looking at and I'm trying to get a camera that does everything, but at the same time looks pro-ish? Is that kind of a good view of this camera?
I would have said the you know, this camera and this sort of range of cameras, if you're going to buy one camera and that's all you're going to own, this is going to cover an awful lot of what you're ever going to need. You know, I mean, you've got your iPhone for your quick point and shoot, that's fine, but if you want, you know, you want a camera that you're going to be able to do some actual, you know, photography tricks with, and, you know, one thing's going to fit all, this is as close as you're going to get at this moment in time, this sort of camera. I did notice, I did read it earlier, it's sort of got a dual way of doing anti-shake and camera vibration reduction and things. So they have tried to take into account the, you know, the vastness of this lens. So they do appreciate that there is an issue.
Are you saying something that with an even though, Alex, as well?
Well, it's even though. If you get, you know, if you have trouble about 300 mil on a normal lens, the compact size of this and with all the efforts they've gone to, I'd say you'd probably knock that same equivalent up to about 500 or 600 on a camera of this size.
What? Well, shed some light on this one then, Will. Are you looking at, what kind of camera do you use, Will?
Well, I one thing I will say, the first two stories that you picked on are both consumer cameras below £200.
Yeah.
So do you see...
Even though one's £250 and the other one's £229.
Oh, that's all right. Will doesn't pay attention to numbers. Here, Will, this is more up your range. Here's a Leica compact camera system. Details have emerged on the X1 and the M9 this week.
Oh,
this
M9,
is up your alley,
lovely.
Right, Will?
Lovely jubbly. Now, if I was going to buy a camera, that would be it.
There you go. Now, why would you buy the camera, Will? Because it's a Leica, or because it says sex appeal all over it?
I don't know. There's something about the Leica M series. I mean, like the M6 was the camera for photojournalists, wasn't it? For years, the 60s and 70s. And rather than have this huge lens that's sometimes an extension of different parts of your body, to some photographers, I wonder, the M series is compact and it's a rangefinder as well, isn't it? Mm. So it's not a rangefinder. And I just think they're iconic. You talk about spending this amount of money on this lens and messing around with this ISO or messing around with this sort of aperture or shutter speed and stuff like that. And most of the stuff, I think, is pretty much out of date because the computers inside your camera will do most of this for you. And if it doesn't quite do what you want to do, you can touch it up in Photoshop or Aperture or whatever it is and get whatever result you really want to without relatively any skill.
No.
Okay. Hang on. A bit more of a reaction than that.
I'm going to ask the pros how they feel about that. Chris.
How
do you feel about that?
Sure. I'm going to go ahead and just kind of disagree there to a certain extent.
No skill involved. There's our title.
I would say it's an effort that all camera manufacturers are trying to make in that people can get really decent pictures with very little skill.
Right. Dumb people like me can actually use a camera now is basically what you're saying.
Right. I'm not saying you're dumb.
No, I'm saying I'm dumb.
Look, we all love each other. Let's just take that as real.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I don't agree that there's no skill involved. Even someone who isn't that skilled, maybe they aren't specifically like trained or they haven't even read a book or anything, they're still using skills even if the technique or whatever comes to them by instinct. I mean, there's still some skill involved and some ability to kind of like see interesting things and capture them.
It's artistry. So what these new amazing cameras are doing is taking away the technical know-how, you know, messing around with the settings and stuff. Wiping that away and then giving the artist and everybody a chance to bloom. And that's it, really, isn't it?
I hear what you're saying, Will. I mean, you and I can relate in the same sense that you do music. I've done music. Now, computers have helped our lives immensely, but I see what you're saying about the nostalgic of things sometimes do you feel like Pro Tools or GarageBand or whatever you're using, do you feel that it takes the art away from it, that instead of just trying to find that sound anymore, you can just press a button?
My music is jazz and I sit down and play the piano. So in a way, technology doesn't help me very much.
Yeah, no, but that's because you're a professional musician in inverted commas. I think what the point is I'm not saying the point that you're making, but
in inverted commas? About then?
Well, because you don't get paid to play music for a living now, do you? So
No, not anymore.
Although people have paid you in the past. My I think the point is that if you look at cameras, you know, the point about the Leica, if you go back to the Olympus days of the 70s and 80s when Bailey was heavily with them and was giving all of their advertising, the TV, limited number of TV advertisements that came out were always pushing you towards compact 35mm film. And they were competing at the Rollei end of the market and that kind of thing. And they were always telling you this was a high quality camera because this was the one that even the pros used. And the point that Will made there right at the start about the M6, you know, being the camera that the pros always used, I think that's where Leica's still pitching at. They're still going on this thing about this is the carry around camera for the pro. And what Will's saying, I think, is exactly right, is that the ability, the technical ability to take a picture has been removed from photography and been replaced with something that will do 90% of what you need to take a half decent image. And it's up to the artistry of the individual to see something and take it. You're going to have to debate about what the separation between technical and artistry is in photography. But I gave my mother, she wanted a camera, so I bought her a Panasonic Lumix last year and she had a go at using it. She's not been happy with the results. And we went up and I thought, right, you know, what can I tell my mother to do to solve her problem right now in the half hour that I'm up seeing them? And the answer was, Mom, shoot a bit more. And then I gave her a lesson on cropping in basic, the free thing, GIMP, for Mac. And in that instant, that 2 minutes, that made an enormous difference to what my mother wanted and could shoot and could come up with. She was very happy with the results straight away. She learnt nothing technical about the camera because the camera was already doing most of it for her. I think that's the point, and I think that's right.
Yeah.
There you go. That's killed that conversation.
Yeah, that's right. Alex, you're quiet.
And
yeah, I'm trying to decide whether I'd want to comment about the camera or comment about Will's comment. I think.
Well, do both. Thing, start with Will's.
Okay. The simple thing.
Are you pissed off? By the way, just wondering.
No, not in the slightest. Will's always entitled to his opinion. No one takes it seriously anyway. Boom, boom. No, but the thing is,
ooh, that was Will's, harsh, wasn't it?
Oh.
I hope so. No, in reality, with all these cameras, what it will do, it's like you've got different conditions. You've got dark and awkward indoor conditions, and you've got very light and awkward conditions outdoors. But anywhere in the middle, these compact do-it-all-for-you cameras will give you a pretty decent shot. Mm. No debate. But, I mean, a good example is I was shooting something in Birmingham after seeing all you guys the other week. And I'd shot at a karate competition. I wasn't using my equipment, but I was using some fairly good Canon equipment. And I ended up whacking it up to sort of 1600 ISO, shooting everything at 2.8, and it still wasn't what I call good enough. Now, that was 2.5 grand's worth of camera equipment. I needed my 5.5 grand's worth of camera equipment to get a good shot in that circumstance, and I needed to know what I was doing to produce it as well. So what I'm saying is, under that circumstance, you couldn't use this like a blah 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 camera unless you had a barrage of lighting equipment and masses of flash guns, and the world champion in karate isn't really going to want you firing flash in their eyes while they're trying to punch each other in the face. So there's lots of situations as professionals where this sort of thing will not do the job. But as you're right, the middle ground of photography, these point and shoots will do most people okay. But there's an awful lot of events where people pay us to go there to take a picture, because if people aren't going to be able to get that picture without experience, without all the right equipment, and without knowing how to use it. So that is the different part of the market.
I think you're right. Okay. I'm really going to upset you now.
No, you go for it.
Steady on.
So, are you paying money to subsidize your lack of artistry? That's what I'm saying. So if I was a piano player, which I am, I should say.
Yes, it's yours.
And I play on a fantastic piano, or I play on a, which I did for a while, a crappy old piano in Mar in Paris, but the atmosphere and the sort of the creativeness of what I was doing on the piano is exactly the same, and sometimes enhanced actually, if the piano isn't very good and you really have to work at it to get the best out of it. Aren't you becoming lazy artists as photographers because you're relying too much on technology and not relying on your artistic sensibilities?
I think we're not, Will. I think that's exactly the point. We're not relying on stuff because we have the balance of artistry and technology. But what the camera market is doing is taking away the necessity of the technical knowledge. And yes, it's allowing people to be artistic, but the problem is that those people are taking their lack of artistry and their lack of technical knowledge, taking a picture which is half decent, cropping it in a half decent way, and posting it into stock image sites. I'm not complaining because I knew that stock image was dying 10 years ago, but 10 years ago, I had, 7 years ago, I had online images with the people that I currently hold stuff with, and there was 1.2 million images in there. Now, there's over 35 million images in that repository. It's impossible to find my work. I used to make 300 or 400 quid a week out of stock image photography. I don't make 500 quid a year anymore. And most of the pictures that are in there are just utter crap. They've just swamped the directory with it.
What's that got to do with my point? That's not my point.
That's to do with the technology. The technology has now allowed the person who has not got the technical knowledge to take pictures which are technically adept, but it's not the person that's doing it. And a lot of what they shoot is not artistic either, and it's just filling it's filling the bathtub with too much water, and you know you can't pour anything else in there.
So you agree with me then?
I do, but it's not the photographer, it's the consumer market that's killing photography in that sense. But, you know, you've got to live with it. I stopped trying to fight against it years ago and just realized that I had to get into a branch of photography that no one was going to compete with me on.
Okay, just to go back to your analogy, the piano analogy is a good one, except for the fact that when you're doing, for instance, a thing I did in Birmingham the other week, I was trying to play a piano with a quarter of the keys missing.
Mm.
That's what not having professional equipment was. I had a thousandth of a second to get the exact shot when two people... I had a shot, which I'm really pleased with, if it was a better camera, I had the shot with two of the fastest people in the world at that sport, both punching each other in the face at exactly the right time. Now, that's, you know, there was a thousandth of a second I had to get that shot. But so much of the picture isn't sharp enough because of the camera wasn't fast enough, because I couldn't go down to 1.4, I could only go down to 2.8. All these technical issues, which I couldn't override because I was using slightly lesser equipment, meant something that I got, not through accident, because of lots of training and lots of practice, is not a good enough image. And the disappointment is amazing, because it's a one in every 500 chances to get that perfect shot. It's a perfect shot, but it's taken on the piano with half the keys missing. And in a funny way, you play jazz, you could probably get away with half the keys missing. But, you know, that's the difference. All the skills I had, I couldn't do it on anything other than the very, very best camera, which I didn't have access to. So the best camera in the world wouldn't have given me that shot. To the combination of all my skills and all my training and all my know-how with the best camera in the world, it would have been great. But I didn't have that, so it was all quite a waste of time.
I was going to say, just to kind of sum this up, guys, in a roundabout way, and after this, you know, we're going to get into the questions. That isn't it kind of in the, as an artistic point of view, I mean, I think we're all artists here. Will does music. I do music. You guys are photographers. We're all artists here. We're most critical of our own work. Somebody else is going to look at an image and say, that's fantastic. Or they're going to hear that piece of music and that's fantastic. But with us, we're so meticulous about everything. We become almost control freaks in what we do, that we exactly analyze each and every little pixel of our work, that it becomes to a point with us that we really have to be off of it for it to actually breathe, for actually does somebody really appreciate it. Because we'll always find faults. That's why we're artists. That's why we strive for more. And that's why we continue to do what we do.
Well, I think that Photoshop image that you've got there with Julia Roberts is the example of that being a good commercial photographer is knowing when to leave well alone. And that person clearly didn't.
Exactly. It was a really good discussion.
Was. Good points.
Yes. Yeah, it was really good points all around. And Will... fabulous. Yeah,
that's the fabulous. First time you ever said that.
It is, and it probably won't be the. It probably will be the last, rather.
Nah, we love Will. We love Will. Questions time.
Keep playing it back.
Let's get into the questions, guys. We got a few to get through this week. Let's see. Starting off with Richard.
Yeah, the questions. Yes.
I'm sorry, Will. What?
The questions. It's my best bit.
It's your best questions. Bit. That's right. Maybe, have a listen, and then we shall see. First one's from Richard. Comes from Spain. It says, "Hey guys, loving the show. Keep up the good work. As an expat abroad, my podcasts are invaluable. I have a simple question. I think, but worried I might look stupid afterwards. Reflectors. What are they used for? Why do you have them? And where should they be used? You talk about reflectors all the time."
Reflectors are basically, you know, if you're shooting outside, you've only got one source of light, that's the sun, and then everything else reflects from that. If you've got too much reflection, you can get a reflector, in inverted commas, that's got a black cover on it, and it'll absorb light, so you'll stop the reflection hitting the person, and you'll stop reflected light coming off other surfaces. You can darken down subjects, that kind of thing. I personally believe, I've always believed, that if you're shooting people particularly, people should be round. So you should have one source of light, and then you should just lift certain areas using reflectors, just to make it look, enhance the image, lose a chin. In Will's case, I shot the other day.
And two of them.
Both of them, yeah. And just just kind of bring a bit more back into the image. I use a gold reflector a lot because a lot of the time when you're shooting under flashlight, you'll end up with the tungsten being too harsh, too white, and you want a bit more yellow to come back into the person's face. So gold reflectors work really, really well. And the opposite side of that is white. It's just basically to lift areas of the image where you think it's too dark. It looks unnaturally dark. And there's more to it than that as well. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody else want to add the more to it? Chris?
Yeah, I would just say, to kind of make it real basic, like reflectors are used to redirect light. So, you know, as Yuna was saying, especially outdoors, you only have one light source. Or even if you're in the studio and maybe you're just using one main light and you want a little bit of extra fill from a different direction, just a simple white or silver or even gold reflector will bounce some of that light back in at a different direction. And, you know, if you have some, it's always worth trying them out.
Mm.
You know, never hurts.
It never hurts to try. So
that's right. Especially in the digital age. Let's get on to next question here from James.
I'm fed up with this, Dave.
Well, no, he's missed Alex out as well.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he?
Goodness gracious.
You've got a bunch of prima donnas here this week, mate. God, love it.
Okay, go ahead, Will, then we'll get on to
Alex. No. Alex first.
I just wanted to hear what if you were going to talk about a reflector off your car or something.
Guys, we're at 54 minutes and we haven't done second question.
Don't blame me.
You're not coming on again.
What about Alex? I mean,
no, Alex is fine. Alex is fine week in, week out. We only go to 2 hours when you're on.
All right, go on then.
It's like a special edition.
I'm just sitting here thinking about.
Oh, it's special.
We talk about how much could we talk about reflectors?
Well, opinion about reflectors, which I do actually know about.
Oh, go on then.
Cool. Go ahead, Will. Go ahead. My apologies once again. God.
Well, obviously they reflect light and you can change the color of the light that they reflect, can't you?
Yes.
Thank you, Sherlock. Go on.
So what more is there to say about them?
Thank you. I'm glad I waited for that.
Oh, there it is.
Ding.
I've got a hell of a weekend editing this weekend. Jeez.
Alex, do you want to add anything? I really don't want to leave you out.
They're very good for softening shadows. There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Alex. Next question. James is actually via Twitter. He says, hey, fellas, quick question. What's going to give me the best quality for PP, which I don't know what this is, PP-10MP, I guess megapixel RAW or 18 megapixel JPEG? I'm going to ask you about this, Chris, because what's that?
Maybe it's print production?
Like post-production.
Chris? Okay, great.
Mm.
Chris, what do you think?
If it's going to be in post-production, and I don't know if he's talking about print or film or anything, but I'm going to say RAW. Even though you have less megapixels, you're going to have a lot more control over, you know, the resulting tonal range and... So I think RAW is going to be the answer to go with here.
Alex, I would assume you would say RAW too, knowing you, not just because you're the RAW man, and that don't take the pun in that, but you talk about when going to print, you always say go the RAW stage.
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky enough to discuss this very question with the askee earlier on in the week. It may have even been yesterday, actually. Yeah. And the complication is he had issues with the right speed of his camera, and he wanted to shoot things in massive burst modes and various things. So the issue he was suffering wasn't necessarily the what's going to give you the best output. The issue he was suffering was his camera couldn't cope with the massive throughput of data that he needed to get his picture to work. But in general, I mean, we always argue, myself and Ewan, if I'm not sure of what I'm going to be using it for, I will always shoot in RAW because it gives me variability.
And I agree with you.
Oh, good.
No, I've never disagreed with you.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's what I would say. Ewan?
We've had a beautiful moment here on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to put the, because everyone thinks I'm a Raw hater, and I'm going to put this to bed once and for all. And it's an example from this weekend. I went down to play cricket, and I took my camera with me because I shoot the pictures of the players and that kind of stuff. And one of the young ladies who's down there, she's going to have a future as a photographer, perhaps. She's very, very good. Said, can I have a go with it? I said, yes, Charlotte, of course you can. So I set the camera up, got the idea to partial focus and then full press and that kind of stuff, and said, away you go. And I just walked away and let her shoot all afternoon. All of the images came back, and I started to process them, and I hadn't turned the camera from RAW when I'd been using it the week before for something else. And I'd left them in JPEG. I'd left it in RAW instead of JPEG. And I had 500 images that I had to sit and run through a RAW processor, and all they were going to be was 800 kilobytes on the Cricket Club's website, you know, on their Flickr page. You know, oh my life, what have I done? I was so pissed off. I do shoot in RAW. I shoot in RAW an awful lot, but it's when I'm not sure, as Alex says there, when I've got a variable that I'm worried about controlling. If you are the kind of person, though, who shoots in RAW, and then all you do is change the levels when they're in the RAW processor, and then you have to sit and output them to JPEG, you're wasting your time. Get a better use of your time. That's when you shouldn't be using RAW. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful statement.
And we're agreed there, aren't we, Alex?
We are agreed, but don't forget to ask Will.
No, I won't.
I shot Mr. Will in Will JPEG. Green. I shot Will in JPEG this week. There was no way I was doing bloody RAW with him.
I wouldn't want to see him in the RAW, whatever the case may be.
Mr. Will Green, are you a RAW man?
Well, my saying, and it always has been, and I've talked about this many times with Ewan, if you're not sure, shoot in RAW.
Oh, excellent.
You know what I'm saying? Just,
dripping wisdom, Will. Hey? What really pissed me off there is that the chat room has actually put in, what's the verdict, Will? Like, he's got the final say.
He does. Ultimately, in the end. He is the star. Words of wisdom for Mr. Will Green. Thank you, Will.
You've just asked Joseph Stalin about humanitarian aid.
You see, I come out with a sensible comment. You take the piss.
It is sensible. No, it is sensible, Will. I mean,
I can't get over this. We only ask him. He's a buffoon. We only ask him here because of the listeners.
I don't like that very much. A buffoon.
Oh boy.
Bassoon. He said bassoon.
Bassoon. Yeah.
I thought he meant bonobo, but maybe I'm reading.
I'm not coming back on here again. You hear me?
You said it, we didn't.
Can we do the last question?
Yes, we will. Last question, Ed. We're so sorry it took so long to get to you. Guys, the Blue Angels are down in town next month. Oh, great. I love those things. At the Great State Main Air Show. And I'm definitely going there with my Canon 450D and my Sigma 70 millimeter through 300 millimeter lens. Got any words of wisdom for a very amateur photographer with not much talent?
Will?
You're right, Will. The questions are so your level this week.
The whole thing has been my level. I mean, the whole thing, you see, I reckon you're losing it. You pro photographers, you're on the
Will
way
Green's
out.
Will Green's aura all over it.
You're going to be taken over by people who can afford a 300 quid camera with a copy of Aperture or Photoshop, and you're dead in the water.
You know why he's stalling, don't you? Because he hasn't got a frigging clue the Blue Angels are.
Well, there's a clue in the question when they are at an air show.
He thinks they're a bit. No, he'll think they're a baseball team.
If I'm truthful, no, I have absolutely no idea who the Blue Angels
Thank
are.
Thank you, mate.
I know that the cricket is 132 for 8, but other than Shut that, up. I don't know.
That's why Alex is in a bad mood today. It's the cricket and Will.
It's pretty hard.
It's a perfect storm.
It's 300 quid cameras and people putting me out of business. That's why I've got the
Exactly.
It's just I keep getting reminded about it, that's all.
I have a question, guys. Is anybody going to answer Will or Ed's Will's God, anybody's question, Ed's question?
I can make a go of it.
Go for it.
Thank you, Chris.
So, Ed, my first advice is usually air shows have a day where they practice before the big, you know, before the public will come. A lot of photographers I know will go the extra day before and they'll, you know, they'll go and watch like what they're going to do so they can kind of plan out, you know, the shots they want to go for. And they can also take some test shots and get an idea of, you know, what are the best ISO settings for what I'm shooting, you know, how do I, you know, where the plane's going to be, where, you know, where should I stand to get the best angles and things like that. So my first advice is to find out if they have a practice day and see if you can get in as a photographer.
So the blue arrows are like the red arrows, blue angels are like the red arrows.
Angels. That's right, yes. Thank you, Will.
Oh, that's,
if you want a technically important answer, and it goes back to the last question, I would definitely unreservedly shoot that in RAW.
Yeah.
Because of, you're going to be able to, if it is underexposing, if it's a grey day or whatever, you're going to be able to lift the sky and do various things that you will not be able to do unless you shoot in RAW. So my number one thing would be set your camera on RAW.
450D does shoot in RAW as well, so.
There you go.
I have one myself. I would agree. I think the thing that you've got to remember is that you're aiming into the sky with quite a slow lens there at 70 to 300 mm. That Sigma's very, very good, don't get me wrong, for the price, but it's a cheap lens that isn't super fast with the focus. So I'd keep your assisted focusing on, and I'd also shoot in RAW, and I'd also, if you possibly can, try and work out a level using aperture priority first, and then try and shoot in manual when it comes to the big event too, because manual will mean that your camera won't be blowing out if you're not exactly on the plane as it goes past.
Yeah, true. And RAW will recover RAW, anything you get wrong.
RAW. Just, that's a RAW just, question.
Go ahead, Chris.
Just to add what Ewan was saying.
I know Will's going to tell us to shoot in RAW, so go ahead.
Yeah, just to add to what Ewan was saying, but a real good way to set up your camera like that is once you have taken a couple shots that you really like, you can turn on the info display on the camera and see what shutter speed and aperture were used and just set that manually.
Yeah, I mean, bear in mind, if you've got a sunny day, you're going to have problems with the sun dipping in and out behind clouds, that kind of stuff, high cloud even. It won't affect the air show, but it'll affect your exposures. But if you're shooting in RAW, bracketing by even four or five stops won't be an issue.
And also make sure, I mean, it's a good question, what metering mode? Make sure you don't do it in anything like spot metering. Make sure you do it in something of a wider metering, because the chances of hitting the plane every time is zero. You're going to shoot between the planes sometimes, and you're going to hit the planes other times. So you want a metering that meters the whole exposure, not just the weighted center point.
I think the only thing as well that you're going to struggle with, and this is if you're saying you're an amateur and if you're saying you've never shot planes before, the one thing you're really going to struggle with is as you try and shoot them when they're flying past you, as you hit the shutter, you'll stop moving. And that's the cardinal sin. Mm. Keep moving with the subject. Just let it go through. Keep going with it.
Burst mode. Don't shoot in a single mode. Always shoot in continuous shooting, because that forces you to move around with a plane. There you go. I think we've answered
that. That's a good answer. Actually, probably the best answers that we got.
That's good. Sorry, Will, quickly.
Anything to
it's
add?
It's pretty boring taking pictures of airplanes, isn't it?
Oh, movies.
I mean, Christ, if we're going to take a picture of anything, probably an airplane, I'd be very low down on my list. I'd probably move on from taking pictures of airplanes. New modelling. That's what you want to do. Glamour models.
I've got to say, Will, as ballast this week, you've been superb.
Actually, yeah.
Have I? Lovely, isn't that nice?
Technical ballast.
Yeah, the trouble is, there's so much ballast, I think we're sinking.
another round of applause for Will Green.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Will.
Finally.
Thank you, Will. Oh, boy. Hey, we got some Bagel Tech t-shirts for you guys, and we've got the Bagel Tech store. Ewan, what's the URL? Because I have the wrong one.
Yeah, it's bageltech.spreadshirt.co.uk. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you can buy these things. We've got a whole pile of photo shirts in there. This was one that was suggested by one of the listeners. He wanted to go shooting in London with a t-shirt with Hostile Recon on it, which... Best of luck.
Yeah,
but it's there if you want it. This is a Raw Baby shirt that's in there as well. Some for the ladies as well, with some snappy comments on them, and just some simple ones. I follow photos.
Oh, what's great about it actually is that whatever you guys get from the store, we of course enjoy the shirts, but you're also donating to the Bagel Tech Network. £5 goes to us. We put it right back in. to the equipment here, to keep the operations running, to keep bringing you guys the shows each and every week. So we want you to enjoy the shirts. And at the same time, we also get to put the money back where it belongs, right here in the Bagel Tech Network. So it really is a great, great help. And we guys hope you do enjoy the shirts. And again, no matter where you listen at in the world, have a look on over there at the website and have a look around. We got what? There's quite a bit to choose from. You're in like 57 pieces. We got mugs over there as well. If you're yep. you're not a shirt person, we've got mugs over there, and everybody needs their coffee, especially us today with Will Green on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Right, Will?
Mm. Well, I thought I'd done pretty good myself. I thought
you did excellent, Will. I really did. I really did. And I think the folks over at UK2.net are glad you're around too, because they have been supporting the UK, or the UK, the Bagel Tech Network, UK2 has since the beginning. And we've expanded and expanded and expanded, which means we just keep taking and taking and taking bandwidth with them. And what can I say? They're not complaining. They're not saying anything. They're keeping us afloat. They're actually, you know, they put us on a VPS server. They've done so much for us over there, and we want to give that back to you guys. Head on over to bageltechnews.com. You'll see their click through over there. Please use the click through. That way they know we are sending you that way. It's just a tracking URL. It's not like security or anything like that. It's just a tracking URL. That way they know where you clicked, and it takes you right to their site. Have a look around there. Whatever you're looking for, VPS server, web hosting, domain names, everything's over there. But when you get to the checkout, use the code BAGELTECH. Get 15% off your order over there. No matter what it is, 15% will be taken off your order. But you got to do it. We're having so many people still. Ewan said you had so many calls this week. People still not using the code.
Yeah, we had a call from UK too. They've rung us three times now and said you should tell everyone that they're not using the code. They're using the click through, so they're tracking them, and they know they're going through and buying stuff, but they're not putting the offer code in, so they're not getting the 15% off. You know, please make sure that they get to put their offer code in. They want please you don't. To have it.
I mean, that's exactly. They're calling us.
Yeah.
Something that they're giving it with. They're calling us to make sure that you do it. So we appreciate you. You're using the click through. Thank you so much. Take advantage over there. Bagel Tech, 15% off is the code. Or Bagel Tech is the code, and get 15% off of anything over there at uk2.net. Thank you so much for their support of the Bagel Tech Network. We really would be dead without them. Also, I forgot to mention, though, you heard the questions. You can get them in on the show. It's simple to do, bageltechphoto@gmail.com. We get your questions on the air each and every single week. We'd love to answer them. Even Will Green, when he's here on the podcast, he will be back. Don't worry, we're not going to kick him away. We love Will. He'll be back to give his 2 or 3 pounds worth of info. Where can we get a hold of you guys? Chris, where can we get a hold of you?
Well, if you really want to, you can get a hold of me. You can read my tech writing on Ars Technica, arstechnica.com. And I'm also on Twitter most of the day at Foresmac, Foresmac.
Ewan, where can we get a hold of you?
You can get me on Twitter at BagelTechNews or at Ewan Rankin, and you can also get me on my commercial website for photography, which is ewanrankin.co.uk, Ewen for Ewan. Thank you.
Sweet deal. Alex, Mr. G-Man, where can we get a hold of you?
Many more weeks like this underneath the arches. But after that, at Alex G. Fox on Twitter, or at Alex G. Fox at twitterything.com.
Twitterything. How's that coming along, by the way?
I'm waiting for Will to tell me what to do with it.
Okay. Will, before don't well, tell him after the show, please. But right now, tell us where we can get a hold of you.
Here again.
Where can we get?
I have an hour of ridicule, and I'm not coming back on here again. So, if you want to come and see me, it's BritishMac.com.
It's a photography-free podcast.
Without a doubt. We would like you to know how much we really love you as listeners. We do hope we will keep you as listeners, and we do hope we will see you back here next week for another wonderful, exciting edition of Bagel Tech Photo.
Bandwidth and hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.